You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It is a pleasure to say we are joined by one of the country's preeminent authorities on a matter that is truly of life and death importance to all of us. Unbeknownst, I'm afraid, to most, the vulnerability of our electric grid is a present and growing danger because all of our enemies understand that by taking it down, they can take down America. And as our guest for this next segment knows all too well and has warned about for a very long time, it's not that hard to do. His name is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He has served in a number of important capacities, including as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, specializing in such matters and strategic threats to our country. He has also served on the House Armed Services Committee as one of its professional staff members and has worked on a number of very important commissions, including the U.S. Strategic Forces Commission and, not least, the threats posed to our grid in his responsibilities, among other things, as the Chief of Staff for the Electromagnetic Pulse Commission, another blue ribbon congressionally mandated commission. Peter Pry, it is so good to have you back. There's a lot to talk about. Welcome, sir.
Always enjoy your show, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Listen, the past few days, Peter, have brought to the forefront again vulnerabilities of our grid. And before we get to some of these very topical indicators of the problem, I'd like you just to sort of level set for us. How critical is the electric grid to our society, to our civilization, to our country? And just at the 30,000 foot level, at least, how fragile is it?
It's the most important of our life-sustaining critical infrastructures. It's the foundation stone of our civilization. You know, we cannot survive. We're an electronic civilization, and we cannot survive without the electric grid. All the other critical infrastructures depend upon it and would collapse like dominoes if the electric grid went down. And unfortunately, it is among the most vulnerable of the critical infrastructures. In fact, it's the most vulnerable critical infrastructure to electromagnetic pulse, to cyber attack, and even the physical sabotage by a small number of adversaries. And the enemy's plans, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, have all developed a new way of warfare that combines all of these, cyber attacks, physical sabotage, and ultimately nuclear EMP attack, which is the big club in this new way of warfare for attacking the Achilles heel that is our electric grid, so that they don't have to fight the Marines or the U.S. Navy or the U.S. Air Force. They can destroy us as a civilization by attacking our most vulnerable part, which is the electric grid.
Yeah. Peter Pry, this is, of course, so extraordinary, so deeply frightening that I think it's not unreasonable for a lot of people to say this can't possibly be true. Something would have been done about it before now. Not least we hear from the electric utilities in America that there's nothing to see here, folks, move along. What's going on with all of that? And is it contributing to a dangerous, willful blindness to this problem that is compounding the other vulnerability you've just described?
Frank, you touch it with a needle. One of the biggest problems we have is with the electric utility industries themselves that claim to be, they misrepresent themselves as experts on all of these threats, on cyber threats, on physical sabotage, on electromagnetic pulse. But if you just stop to think about that, even as a normal person, you don't have to be, you know, a specialist to think about that. You say, well, how did they get to be experts in these areas? You know, all they're good at is knowing how to run the grid and to charge people for higher and higher electric bills and how to avoid government regulation. The biggest representative of the electric power industry is called NERC, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, and they're supposed to partner with the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to protect the grid. But what they are, in fact, is just a great big lobby And you know this yourself from years of activism trying to get the protect the grid along with me, you know, that what they really are is just a big lobby to think of new ways to avoid federal regulation so that they can don't have to spend any money on protecting the grid and can avoid regulation by real experts who in the Department of Defense, you know, who would be able to assess whether the grid has been adequately protected. And we know it hasn't been protected because even every time we have a hurricane, all right, you don't need an ingenious enemy who knows about cyber attacks and physical attacks and EMP. You can just see it for yourself in things like Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina. Every time there's a hurricane, the grid comes down catastrophically, and it takes them weeks or months to bring it back.
Peter Pry, again, some of this is just simply bizarre that we have a self-interested party, namely the electric utilities, essentially calling the shots through this entity called the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, which essentially dictates terms to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And a case in point, because again, this seems so implausible, is this issue of cyber attack. We've had just in the past, 2 weeks, I guess, reports from the Department of Homeland Security of problems with Russia, and from the FERC itself, this Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, reports of cyber problems with Iran. Talk about those and what has just preceded it in terms of the FERC's deliberations about whether to take cyber threats to the grid seriously.
Yes, for years, the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, and the Iranians have been probing our electric grid, trying to get into our critical infrastructures. And there have been some high-profile cases, you know, for example, the stealing of millions of personnel files from the federal government by China. Russia managed to penetrate during the Obama years both the Pentagon and the White House and managed to tie up critical communication systems in the Pentagon and the White House. And so these things briefly come onto the radar screen. Now it's again, we've gotten this new information about the Russians trying to, or apparently successfully, getting into the electric grid and some other critical infrastructures. But this isn't the first time. You know, a few years ago, there was a virus called Dragonfly. We really don't know what its purpose was, but they managed to embed it in SCADA systems in the NATO European countries and in the United States. And there's been great debate over what Dragonfly is and whether we've gotten it out of the system or not yet. It might have been just for collecting intelligence to see how our SCADAs work, or it might have been to insert logic bombs into the SCADAs so that when they wanted to, you know, it would be the edge of the wedge of this new way of warfare where they would just black everything out first with a cyber attack, then send in commandos to shoot up EHV transformers in key areas, and finally do a nuclear EMP attack. You know, because when you're going to go kill the emperor, which is the United States, you want to make sure you do it. You know, you could take us down with any one of those things, but, you know, any sensible military commander is going to throw in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, leave nothing to chance. And Peter Pry, what you've described, of course, is a capability that we've actually seen, as I understand it, the Russians use against Ukraine, not to permanently black them out, but to take them down. Am I right in saying it's on two different occasions?
That's right. Both times around Christmas, in December 23rd, and I think it was the 24th, 3 years ago, and then last year, they took down half the Ukrainian grid the first time, then a portion of the Ukrainian grid the second time. And that doesn't mean that demonstrate that they may have been limited, you know, but you know, what they're doing is they're experimenting with these, with these things to see how far they can go. But at the same time, I don't think they want to raise our, they would like us to stay asleep against this stuff.
And Peter, am I correct that in the attacks that the Russians undertook, the cyber attacks against parts of the Ukrainian grid, they were specifically targeting systems not unlike those that are crucial to our own grid?
That's right. They were attacking control systems to lock up the control systems. They didn't attack, and that's another sign, that they weren't going out to really kill Ukraine, but it was just sort of a causing temporary blackouts, you know, because theoretically you can use cyber attacks to destroy the extra high-voltage transformers and the SCADAs themselves. And if you did that, then the grid isn't coming back. You know, you'd have a protracted catastrophic blackout. But their ability just to get into those control centers indicates a capability to go far, to do far worse things. The reality of this is, you know, in this country, we don't get this new way of warfare. What we're talking about now, the fact that we've had this most recent round of cyber intrusions by the Russians, it'll be in people's consciousness for a few days, but they don't know, they don't have a context to put it in, and so it gets quickly forgotten about.
Peter, let me ask you about one other piece of this very quickly. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, as we talked about, is supposedly overseeing all of this. They themselves, apparently, were attacked by Iranian cyber elements. And yet I understand that they've just recently adopted a regulation essentially dictated by this industry group, NERC, that essentially said there's no problem with cyber. Is that right?
That's my understanding as well. And they are totally in the pocket of NERC. I think political scientists call it a regulatory capture when the industry being regulated through the rotating door gets its own people onto a federal department or agency that's supposed to regulate them. And that's what's happened. Because when you look at the top guys in NERC and in FERC, most of them are not electrical engineers. In fact, none of them at FERC are electrical engineers. They're all lawyers and lobbyists who used to work for the electric power industry in some capacity. And the top leadership of NERC is similarly, usually lawyers and lobbyists. And I would add, indeed, the recently a person you and I both knew and met with once on NERC, you know, tried to murder his wife or something. I mean, there was some kind of a catastrophic a misbehavior on his part. It's very scary to think that here's a guy that's responsible for protecting the electric grid. It's not the kind of person you want in charge of protecting 320 million American lives.
Yeah. Peter Pry, chilling stuff. Thank you very much for the terrific work you have been doing on this and so many other issues. Peter, I look forward to our further visits, and thank you for your time today. Next up, we'll talk with Diana West about the challenges to the president's national security team that he is trying to build and what it all means for you, right after this.